celebration our home, receiving ministry and giving it.
Amen.
And a blessing.
Amen. We thank God for bringing us here today.
Amen.
I know He's doing a good work in us.
Yes, yes.
I continue to pray for this ministry.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Happy that I came.
Amen.
Blessed, I'm enlightened, and I'm just learning so much.
Amen.
And may God continue to bless this ministry.
Amen.
That it will grow.
Amen.
And prosper.
Amen.
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 Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
This afternoon, let's pray. Kind Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we just thank you for bringing the throne room right into our presence, O God. And so we continue in your presence, O God. We continue in your presence. Our hearts are open to hear from you, O God. Speak to us, Lord God, from your throne. We're willing, we're open to receive what you have to say today. Thank you. In the throne room, in the midst of worship, angels, cherubims and seraphims, the elders, creatures we can't even imagine. Bible says that they worshiped at the throne. And in the midst of worship, the elder walks up to John and says, "Who are these?" In the midst of worship. Says, "Who are these? What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Where did they come from? Who are they? Where did they come from?" John, we call him John the Revelator. Jesus is actually the Revelator. Bible says this is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
John was just a scribe. He was just... John gave the most profound response. Most of us would be tempted to say, "Well, I think it might be those. I think I might know who they are. I think they might be. They might be these ones, or they might be those ones. Or you know, maybe they came from here, or maybe they came from there." And John, with all of the choice wisdom that he had, obviously he was a man of God. Obviously he was being transported into the very throne room of God. So he could have thought of himself as something special. He could have thought of himself as someone knowledgeable. "Oh, he's asking me? Oh." John gave the most profound response. He said, "I don't know." Sometimes it's just best say, I don't know. I just don't know. Very, it's not practical that God's going to ask you a question where he's like looking for information.
No, I don't think so.
You're going to school him on, you know, the ins and outs of, you know. He does ask questions. But on my part, I notice that when I'm being asked a question, generally, it's to communicate to me that I don't know. I don't know. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at 2012 and recognizing the opportunity we have here at the beginning of 2012 to set some things in order. Yes. We recognized a couple of weeks ago, you know, people say, well, this is 2012, so it's got to be better than 2011. And we came to a scriptural conclusion that it don't have to be. We came to a scriptural conclusion out of Leviticus chapter 26, remember a few verses about the curses? You remember? Mm-hmm. That it don't actually have to be better. Leviticus 26, God lays out five levels. Remember?
Yes.
Five levels of, you know, you don't hearken, you don't listen, you don't adjust your ways, it could get worse. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we had a few verses. Mm-hmm. A few verses about the curses. God spoke to Joshua, and if you would turn to Joshua chapter 1, if you would turn to Joshua chapter 1, we spent a little time a couple of weeks ago in Joshua, because God told Joshua, make your way prosperous. In 2012, you must make your way prosperous. You have some accountability to make your way prosperous. And in Joshua chapter 1, and I'm doing some review. Mm-hmm. Doing some review.
That's all right.
Joshua chapter 1, God told us through the experience of Joshua, God told us to arise. He told us to go over Jordan. You know, the interesting thing that in order to get into the promised land, you got to cross Jordan, you got to cross into. But in order to get to cross into, you've got to cross over the Red Sea to come out of. Sometimes we're trying.
Amen.
Sometimes we're trying to cross into and we haven't come out of yet.
Amen.
Sometimes we haven't taken the steps we need to take. And sometimes we should be crossing into and we're still running around in the wilderness of our own experience. And we need to be crossing over Jordan to go into the promised land. God told Joshua, you shall make your way prosperous. and have good success. You shall make your way prosperous. God told Joshua that he needs to go into the land, and he said, every place your foot shall tread shall be yours. And in my imagination, you know, I use my imagination a lot when I'm reading the scriptures. I do. I use my imagination, and I saw Joshua walking over this land, and it's thorns and thistles in some places, and it's dusty in some places. This is what I'm getting. You know that there were giants in the land. You know that there were prosperous places too. There were great fruits, and but there were some obstacles. There were some obstacles. You've got to put your foot in the land. You've got to put your foot in the land. And that land different ones of you, it may be different things. Maybe family relationships that you're trying to restructure. It may be finances that you're trying to recover. Maybe a health situation. Maybe emotions. What is the land of your inheritance? What is the land that we've been talking about, the blessing, and what the blessing looks like? I've actually been trying to get to this lesson on the blessing, you know, I've been trying to get there. Yeah, I've been trying to get to this lesson on the blessing. But first we had to have a few verses on the curses. Everybody wants the blessing, isn't that right? I mean, you know, we don't wake up in the morning desire, you know, I think I want some curses today. I want some troubles, some problems, some pestilences today. No, people have within themselves a desire, God-given desire, you know, for good things, not just for yourself, but for your family. You want good things. Remember when I was in graduate school, we did a study on how people sometimes desire, people desire a certain result, we call it A, but all their attitudes and behaviors are leading to a different result. You know, so with all of our heart, we're desiring A, but everything we're doing is leading to B. And so you wonder, you know, yesterday we spent a great deal of time, didn't we?
Yes.
Spent a great deal of time yesterday talking about these kinds of things, talking about the holistic nature of our approach to righteousness. Amen. The holistic nature. And so in our mind, we have this desire for the good things of life, but in our spirit, we've got decrepit unforgiveness and pain and poverty. We've got that in our spirit, and so there's an imbalance. We've got to line these things up. Got to line these things up. Got to line it up. You got to tread over the land. You got to look around in your life. Your life is the land. You got to look around in your life and see, where are there things that don't look like the stuff God is talking about? What ways do I have? Oh my gosh. What family ways do I have? What cultural ways do I have that are not like the ways of God? God gives us, in His Word, He gives us clear principles and guidelines that spell out His ways. It says in Isaiah 55, you know, this is one of my favorite ones, right? You know this is my favorite one, right? Do you know, who's it? The Copeland say, one word from God can change your, like, everything, you know? One word from God can change everything. Well, the one word from God that changed everything for me was Isaiah 55, verses 6 to about 9. You can go there. Isaiah 55, about verses 6 to 9, really changed everything for me. She says, come. Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9, but I'm going to start with verse 1. How's that? How's that? Is it okay? I'm going to start with verse 1 because I just saw that. And it says hope. It says hope. Say hope.
Hope.
Hope. It says hope. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Just in case you didn't know, that's a rebuke.
It sure is a rebuke.
That's a rebuke. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? See, we do that a lot. In this culture, we do that a lot. We spend. See, and when you talk about money, you know, we're talking about resources, you know. And when I think about the spending, I think about all kinds of spending. We spend money, we spend time, we spend emotional resources. You know, to see, again, I'm thinking holistically, see. I'm learning, I'm growing, you know. But I'm learning to think holistically. We spend a lot of emotional resources for things that are not meat. We spend a lot of emotional, you know, case comes to mind. I ain't ready to forgive them yet. I ain't ready. That's spending money on something that's not me. How do I get there? How do I get there? Anybody know how I get there? That's spending money. See? Because the Bible says, Jesus said to us clearly that if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven.
That's right.
You can't be forgiven. So you're spending money, emotional resources, of unforgiveness on something that's not meat. See, meat, my meat is doing the will of my Father. See, that's what Jesus said, right? My meat is to do the will of my Father. So what we must do is to find out what are the ways of God. What are the ways of God so that we can organize and operate our lives in those ways by decision and by choice, not by emotion. You can't let your life be governed by emotion.
Amen.
Amen. Say it.
You can't. If you let your life be governed by emotion, that's in the soul realm. You see, that's in the soul realm. Remember, there are three realms. What are they?
Spirit, soul, and body.
Three realms, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Right? And so you can allow your life to be led by the flesh, by the body. You can allow your life to be, I feel like this, I want this, that don't feel good to me, 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 me. A lot of people live like that. They live, you know, the way how God showed it to me is that people live either body first, soul first, or spirit first.
It's true.
Okay, people live, you know, those are your choices. Okay? Those are your choices. And so some people live in the soul realm, you know, by everything, whatever's affecting them, you know, and they live soul first. Emotions, you know, attitude, you know, all of that's first. And then some people live in the spirit realm. And the issue about this is that there are different spirits.
Amen.
Search the spirits.
Amen.
There are different spirits.
Amen.
So you can live by your own personal spirit.
Yes.
You can live by your own personal spirit, what seems right to you. You can live by allowing the Holy Spirit to shine through you. And then you'll be living by what seems right to God. But there's another. Some people are clearly living by the influence of demonic spirits. Because they are living beings too. They are living beings. Did you know that the only way that the Holy Spirit can express himself in the earth is through you?
Mm-hmm.
He expresses himself through you.
Yes, he does.
But similarly, demonic spirits, they're wandering around looking for a being to express themselves in the earth through. Whose are you? Whose are you? You've got to ask yourself. This is the place where we take inventory of ourselves.
Yeah.
And say, you know, what is the predominant trend of my life? Is the predominant trend of my life, is it really allowing the Spirit of God to manifest himself in the earth through me? Or is it just me? Or am I in some ways allowing demonic spirits to manifest themselves? Am I? This is what I counsel you to say. Lord, thou knowest. Look at the trend of your life. Look at what the trend has been. Just take 2011, for instance. Just take 2011, you know. I am positive that if you just took 2011, you'll see some streams of blessing. Right? You see some streams of blessing, some, you know, good things have happened. You might also see some things that were not so much what you would have liked to have happened. Isn't that right? I think all of us can probably see that and say that. What if we dressed that trend back further through our lives and through our family lives and say, what are those kinds of things that I now see on my children? What are those kinds of things that I see going back, mom and daddy then, my brothers and sisters and their children? What are those kinds of trends that are not so godly? When I say trends, I'm I could be talking about anything. I could be talking about sicknesses, you know, that's in the body realm. I could be talking, some families, they got this fight on them. Everybody fighting everybody. Everybody argumentating and fighting and, you know, always a dispute, always a grudge. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's just the way they are. Well, that's just the way we are. We fight all the time. We love each other. We fight all the time. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and that's just the way they are. That is just the way they are. You might look and see trends like teen pregnancy. You know, the teenagers is pregnant now. Yeah, but when I was a teenager, I was pregnant. And then my mother was pregnant when she was, and all the other ones up and they was pregnant, you know. And, you know, and you got these trends. You said, does that look like the blessing or does it, you know, does it look like the ways of God? Does it look like the Spirit of God manifesting in the earth? Or does it look like something else? Bible says there is a way that seems right. It seems right unto a man. We've got family ways. We've got cultural ways. Live in America, we got cultural ways. You know, you go overseas to one of the islands, they got cultural. You go to another island, they got different cultural ways. Maybe they got some of the same ones, but they got some other ones that's different. You know, these people hate those people. The people from the mainland don't like the people from the islands. People from this island don't like people from that island. You know, we got ways. But God's way is love, right?
Yes.
God's way is love. And so sometimes what's required of us to ditch our cultural ways, to ditch our family ways. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, like, yeah, this may sound a little radical. You know, may sound a little radical. But when you've been birthed into a new family, which is the family of God, now we need to be studying God's ways. See, we want to be a part of the family of God, but still keep all this other stuff over there.
Same thing, Larry.
We want to be a part of the family of God, but not study God's ways, you know. And this is allowed in this cultural time because we live in a cultural time of independence. I do my own thing. I do it my way. You can't tell me, you know. And so consequently, like, we like the religious part of it, being religious.
Yes.
You know, we like being religious. A couple of weeks ago, we said that everybody that goes to the football game is not a football player. Right? Everybody that goes to the stadium is not a football player. Some of them are fans. And that's what we have in the church. We have a lot of fans. They're fans of Christianity. They're fans of God. They like Him. They applaud Him. You know? So everybody can jump up and praise and shout. And everybody can do that. But when it comes down to say, okay, God, I'm in your family now. You tell me how to live. That's a different something now. You're getting into my stuff. You're getting into my stuff now. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a little bit too much now. I'll give you this, but I got to keep this here for myself. If God be God, let's serve Him. Let's serve Him with all of our hearts. What that often means is coming to the knowledge of some not so pleasant truths. Coming to reckon with some not so pleasant truths. And sometimes they back here somewhere. You know, one of the things we've consistently is that people have what I would call secrets. People have things that are, you know, not too pleasant things that they don't really want anybody to know, and they don't even really want to know it. So we just conveniently forget it. And human beings are good at this, forgetting stuff. We just forget it. We just forget it way down deep down there somewhere, as if by ignoring it, it'll go away. People we've hurt, people we've done wrong, even people that have done us wrong that we haven't forgiven. And you know, these things lay open and bare before God. You know, God is, you know, it's not hidden from God. We can deceive ourselves and fool ourselves, and we could play the big time religion in church. You know, we can play the big time, you know, goody two shoes. But it's not, you know, I mean, it's like we come to reckon with these things in heavenly places. God knows. And so God says, my ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is from the earth, or your thoughts from my thoughts and your ways from my ways. And I had to back up. You say, what did you talk about? What did you talk about? I'm a Christian. You know, what you talking about? This must be talking to the other people. I'm a Christian. Oh. Said, no, you. You. Your ways are not like my ways. Come to reckon with the fact that, you know, my ways and God's ways are miles and miles and miles and miles apart. And so I had to listen, because I kept coming back over and over again. Had to listen. Yesterday we were talking about how God speaks, that God doesn't leave you without the information that you need to perfect salvation and righteousness. He don't leave you. God speaks. I was looking in Joshua chapter 1, if you, in Joshua chapter 1, I think it's verses 6 and 7, where God says, only be thou strong and of good courage. Talking to Joshua about crossing Jordan and going in to take the land. And of course, I make that allegory to my life, to, you know, to moving, to stepping, to growing in my spiritual walk. I make that as an allegory. And he said, only be thou strong and of good courage. And I noticed that God said it to Joshua like three different times. And then I noticed, you know, interestingly enough, if you just turn the page back from Joshua 1 to Deuteronomy, a couple chapters before the end of Deuteronomy, Moses told Joshua the same thing. Moses told him, only be strong and of good courage. Moses told him the same thing. Then God personally himself, now God was speaking, but Moses was speaking too. But, you know, like, you know how it is. Mm-hmm. You know, when your pastor or somebody tell you something, or even your mother tell you something, and then, bang, you get it yourself directly, and you say, you know, oh, wow. The same thing my mama was telling me. Anybody ever had that where you had to go back to your mama and say, Mom, everything you told me was right. You know, forgive me. I don't, you know, my teenage years, I don't know. I was just out of space somewhere. But everything you said, I don't found out for myself. Moses told it. Did around Deuteronomy like 30, 31, something like that. Moses told him a couple times. And then God told him a couple times. And then when he communicated with the people in verse 18, I think it's the last verse of chapter 1 of Joshua, the people told him. The people told him. He said, All that you tell us to do, we're gonna do. People always say that. All that you tell us to do, we're gonna do. They always say that, you know. He says, only you be strong and courageous. And that's prophetic in itself. That's prophetic in itself. Because we talked about this yesterday, because leaders, remember we talked about the elders yesterday? The elders must be ones who know the power of God and the principles of God. They got to know. They got to be strong and courageous. They got to be. Because the people go back and forward. They do. They tell you all that you said we're going to do, and then next thing you know, they're doing something different. So the elders, Joshua in this case, this could be you. Could be you. Because, you know, in some way, you know, you may be a church member here, but in some ways, you are the elder to some other ones. You are the elder. People look to you in some venues of your life. Right? So it's incumbent upon you to know the power of God to deliver and the ways of God. How do I go about acquiring that relationship with God? How do I go about and acquire the blessing? How do I go about to acquire salvation? How do I go about to acquire deliverance and healing and prosperity and all of those things that God said are available to us? I've got to know. And I say, I mean, we've got to know. We've got to know it for ourselves. God told Joshua, you got to go. You got to cross over this Jordan. You've got to go, and everywhere you tread is yours. And you got to take people with you. Every one of us, we got a Jordan to cross, we got a land to go get, but don't forget the people, don't forget the children, don't forget those that need wisdom, they need leadership, they need guidance that you can provide. It's not just about you. That's another one of those words from God that God showed me. It's not just about you. It is all about you, but it's not just about you. It's one of those paradoxes of God, you know. He told me it's all about me, and then he said, not just about you. What do you think? About you? Yeah, it is all about you. God says some things that are just paradoxical to me sometimes. It's about you, it's not about you. It's about you, it's not about you. It's all about you. Because, see, it's all about you. Because if you don't stand up, if you don't arise, like he told Joshua, if you don't arise, nothing happens. God, you know, it's interesting to me how God puts his whole plan on a man. Put his whole plan on Moses. Put his whole plan on Joshua. You know what I'm saying? The whole deal. Well, guess what? Some of God's whole deals is on you. There are some people who ain't getting salvation if you don't arise. It's there, it's available for them, but you are the vehicle that God desires to use. The enemy is going to tell you, well, it can't be me, not me. I ain't nobody, I ain't nothing. contraire. God says, it's all about you. Standing in the gap, standing into position. Look at Nehemiah. Cried out to God. Repented for the sins of his people and his sins that got them into captivity. God just opened up door after door after door for Nehemiah so that he can go. What did Nehemiah do? Same thing he told Joshua. Go and tread around the land. He went around and said, oh, this wall's broken. We need to fix that wall. That gate's broken. We need to fix that gate. And he went throughout, you know, determining what needed to be fixed. Look at your family. The gates are broken down. The girls are running around with boys that don't even go to church. Look at your little children. You can be Nehemiah. You can be Ezra, who stood up and told the people, stand up, we're going to read the word of God. That's you. Repairing the gates, leading the people out of captivity back to the promised land. That's you. Lives are dependent on you. On you. Be strong and of good courage. God said it over and over and over again to Joshua, and he's saying it over and over and over again to you. Be strong and of good courage. Strength. Be strong. Be strong and of good courage are both displayed to us in the Hebrew Bible in the causative sense, as if you cause yourself to be strong and of good courage. A lot of us are just praying, waiting for God to cause it. Right? We're waiting for God to cause something to happen. God says, you cause yourself to be strong. Cause yourself. Being strong here speaks of determination, emotional strength, character strength. They coming up into your house cussing and smoking. No cussing and smoking here. We ain't doing that no more. I know we used to let you do it, but we ain't doing that no more. Who she thinks she is? That's what I said. You understand what I'm saying? Gotta put a stop. Set up a standard of righteousness. No, we ain't watching no dirty movies up in here. Gigs up on that. Like inviting the devil to come in. Come on through the TV, come on. Cussing and lying and cheating and stealing.
Yes.
Bible says in Timothy, I don't remember where it is, I'll tell you later. It says, refuse. Profane, help me pastors, refuse, well, I might have it here in my notes. 1 Timothy 4:7, help me out brother, get it from me quick. 1 Timothy 4:7, I know it, it's just not there right now.
But refuse vain and old wise fables and exercise thyself
rather
than
I had the words, I just didn't have them right. Okay. Refuse. And so I always looked at that and thought of that as TV. Profane and old wives' tales. I don't, in my Bible, I got TV written next to that. Because fables is fictional stories, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what fables are, fictional stories. And profane, well, we know what that is. But exercise thyself rather unto godly. Exercise thyself, and what exercise is, it's like saying strengthen yourself. I did 5 push-ups this morning. 5. I know some of you are doing 20, but I did 5. 5 is better than none. It ain't as good as 20, but it's better than none, right? I did 5. I did five yesterday too. I'm doing good. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself. That means like you've got to be doing something. You understand what I'm saying? You're strengthening yourself, exercising yourself. You're strengthening yourself. So you're practicing something that you intend to get better at. You know? And the Bible says exercise yourself. It also means discipline. See, you really don't want God to discipline you. You really don't want that. I mean, you know, certainly he can. But it's much better if we, you know, you have an instructor who's giving you instruction. It's much better if you pay attention, listen, apply what he's teaching you and learn it. That is a discipline, you know, rather than to get your paper back and to have red X's all through it, because that's another kind of discipline. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your grade be dropping through the floor. You understand what I'm saying? It's better to, like, you know, but you know, red X's is a kind of a discipline. You know, I mean, it is. But that's not what you want. You want to master. You want to master life. So in order to master life, you have to exercise yourself, discipline yourself unto godliness, and refuse profane and old wives' tales. So some things get included in, some things get excluded out. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, the Bible tells us in the Psalms 103, that Moses knew God's ways. But the people, they just knew his acts. They just knew his acts. They just knew what he did. You know, we need manna, we need food, we need healing, we need this, we need that. You know, and they just knew God's acts. Bless me now, give me this, give me that. But Moses knew God's ways. I believe God wants us to know his ways. The only way we're really going to get to know God's ways is if we on purpose, seek his ways. On purpose. I have a handout for you. I'm going to have it available after the service. I have 15 scripture references here. And they are scripture references regarding prayers. I did a search on Hallelujah. Scriptures that say, teach me.
Yes.
Teach me.
Hmm.
You know, like John said to the elder, I don't know. Teach me. Each and every one of us have needs. Each and every soul, man, woman, and child in this room and outside of this room have needs which may differ from another. And it was a very interesting thing for me to learn that every single one of you are unique. Every single one of you. The sound of my voice are unique. There never has been any other person created like you. None. In the millions and millions and millions of people, 7 billion people on the earth right now, there's nobody. Nobody like you. You are unique. You're unique. There never ever will be another one of you. Now, there may be people that got hair like yours and they got your color eyes, or maybe somebody with your color skin, or, you know, feet like yours, or toenails like, you know, there may be somebody with something like yours, but there's never been a composite person like you. You might see people that have the same kind of demeanor or attitude or whatever like yours, but there are other things about them that are different from you. I was excited to learn that each and every person is a unique, loving creation of God. Each and every one of you.
Amen.
And so therefore, your needs from God are, you know, we have a lot of common things that we need from God. But the thing that you individually, personally, privately need from God to fill that empty space in your heart and in your life is unique. It's unique. There are lots of common things, you know what I'm saying, but the creation of the answer for you, only God has.
Yes.
So We can tell you lots of things, right? You know, we can tell you lots of, you know, pastors and prophets and apostles. We can tell you lots of things about God and about the ways of God and about righteousness and about living right, you know. But to get it, to really get it.
Amen. Glory.
To really get it. Requires that you open your heart to God. You open your heart with a heart attitude that says, teach me. Uniquely, me, teach me. Not, you know, teach us about angels and teach us about, but teach me where I have places that need healing, teach me. You know, where I have, you know, needs of learning how to manage my relationships or manage my money or manage my marriage or handle these kids that I got. Teach me.
Jesus.
It is God's will for you to be prosperous.
Yes, it is.
In every area of your life. Every area.
Amen.
It is God's will for you to restore, for you to redeem, for you to recover everything the enemy has stolen. That's God's will. They got championships going on right now. The football championships. That's the NFL. American football, you know, not soccer. I don't know what they know in soccer right now, but they have the championships going on, the playoffs they call them. The interesting thing about the playoffs, when you go on, lose you, go home. No second chances, no best two out of three, when you go on, lose, you go home. There's some areas in your life you got to win.
Yes.
People are depending on you. Gotta win.
That's right.
You gotta say, teach me, Lord, teach me. Teach me, I gotta get it. can't afford to lose. Lives are at stake, really.
Amen.
I'm Joshua. I gotta get this. I'm Joshua. You can be Joshua too. You see what I'm saying? It's not just, you know, because I'm the Joshua of my life, you know.
Yes.
And you're the Joshua of your life. You are. Moses is dead. Book of Joshua opens up with God saying, now Joshua, Moses is dead. All the hopes and dreams you had of just following behind in his trail, just ducking behind Moses, you it. You it. So rise up and let's get on over this Jordan and let's tread our feet around in this land and let us declare we're taking this land in the name of Jesus. We're taking the land. Taking back all that the enemy has stolen. We're taking our children back.
Amen.
Taking it back. Taking these men back. Taking the women back.
Hallelujah.
We're taking it back. Taking this money back out of the hands of the enemy. Putting it into the kingdom work. Amen.
Amen.
Taking all of these emotional damage.
Amen.
We're casting it out. And we're taking back our peace.
Amen.
We're taking back our peace.
Amen.
We're taking back our peace. So you have to say, teach me. You got to do that for you. I'm saying, Lord, teach me. Teach me. So that I can teach, so that I can lead, teach me.
Amen. Amen.
But I recognize that you got that you're a leader too. You're a leader too. So you've got to say, teach me.
Amen.
That's kind of like a on your face before God kind of thing that nobody else can do for you. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. There are unanswered questions in your life. There are unresolved issues in your life, and you've got to say, Lord, teach me, show me the way. Show me the way to reconciliation. Show me the way to forgiveness. Show me the way to repentance. Show me the way, Lord, so that I can lead these people into the promised land. Show me the way. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Job 6:24. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalm 25:4. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 119:12. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 119:26. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Psalm 119:23. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 119:64. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Psalm 119:66. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm Psalm 119:68. Except I beseech thee, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Psalm 119:08. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Psalm 119:124. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Psalm 119:35. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me. Teach me. This becomes that you can see a prayer. It's a prayer. Teach me. Thou knowest. I don't know. Teach me. And when I do, I will teach others. When I learn, I'll teach others your way, Lord God. I'll lead sinners into the path of righteousness. Teach me. I made this so that you can keep it in your Bible. So that you can keep it, put it in your purse, or however you want to keep it with you, and make this your prayer. Lord, teach me. Some of you got multiple copies because you got different family members that you need to give one to. And you can teach it to them. Amen?
Amen.
If you want more copies, there's more copies. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Kind Father, we do say, teach us, O God. We want to know your will. We want to know your ways. And so this afternoon, Destiny is saying, teach me. She's saying, teach me. And we're saying, teach me, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Teach us your way, Lord God. We have financial issues, and we're saying, teach me. We have family issues, and we're saying, teach me. We have emotional trauma and damage, and we're saying, teach me the way out of it. We have issues that we haven't overcome yet. We're working on it. We're desiring it. And we're saying, teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me healing. Teach me healing. Physical body healing. Emotional healing. Teach me healing, Lord. That I may be able to declare your name before the congregation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you, Lord God, for your healing word, O God. Your healing word, encouraging, strengthening, informing, and propelling us into righteousness. Lord, we pray that each and every one under the sound of your word today may receive the instruction that you've given. Teach us, show us your ways, O God, and lead us into the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let us be.